providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, and continuing on with a bit more of a focus on the resource sector. In these next two segments, I am joined by Chris Taylor. Now, Chris is the president and CEO of Great Bear Resources. We're going to get an update on Great Bear, some of the recent news, and what to look forward to for all investors in the next segment. But Chris, I first wanted to talk to you about the broad metals market, precious metals in particular, because as many analysts as I talk to, and I get a lot of insight from all of them, I also find it valuable to talk to company management teams, especially companies that are performing extremely well. Great Bear has a very attractive project, let's put it that way, really driven by the drill bit. So that's where I wanted to start, is asking you, through a lot of the conversations that you're having undoubtedly with majors, what's been your takeaway from the overall health of majors in the mining sector?
Hey, Corey, I should start off by saying I have to talk a little bit generally and not in specifics. But if you want to talk about majors, one of the interesting reports I was reading recently was forwarded to me by our VP Corporate Development, Callum Morrison. And it was a summary from one of the banks that we deal with of just how much cash some of these majors are going to be sitting on next year. And, you know, going through like the end of just Q3 of 2020, guys like Barrick, guys like Newmont, they're sitting on basically like over $1 billion of free cash flow in their operations. And it just shows you like the impact of these high gold prices over the last number of months. I mean, these guys are raking in money in a way that they have never done before.
Yeah, it's so true, right? And then they're building up these cash positions, but it has a lot of investors wondering why we haven't seen more M&A coming from these companies. Now, I've talked to some other management teams and also some other analysts that say for these large companies, it takes a lot of time to change the course of the so-called company or the ship that they are on because it's such a large company. We were talking a couple of years ago when we saw that consolidation of majors about how much these majors wanted to offload some projects. The market's changed so much in just the last couple of years, though, that now everyone's wondering what's going to spur this M&A if these majors can turn their ships around that quickly. What do you think about the ability of majors to start acquiring rather than divesting projects?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like if you talk to me, talk to any analyst, what you're looking at within the majors is that internal valuation process. So obviously they have very, very detailed files on their own projects, and they're going to have very detailed files on all the major mineral deposits around the world in a little bit of a way. This is no different than sort of like a sports fan having like stacks of the cards or the statistics compiled off of all the key players in the world. Like everybody's going to know how many goals and assists Wayne Gretzky scored. Well, in the same way, everybody's going to know how many ounces of gold or what the total potential of any major gold deposit in the world is. So they're fairly known quantities, and they're known quantities within the portfolios of these companies. So step one is figure out what you have, what you can put together into a development timeline over the near term. And then step two is the M&A cycle. So I don't find it puzzling at all that the M&A cycle has been quieter than what people generally anticipate. The reason is you have to get your own house in order before you figure out where that expansion is going to come. But like we were just saying, sitting on these pools of capital now and thinking about the fact that, you know, compared to years ago, many fewer ounces of gold are being found, and a lot more ounces are being mined. As the effectively, you know, as the price of gold goes up, the cutoff grades can drop, and you can extract more ounces from existing deposits. But just means that your total reserves are depleting, really at an even more rapid rate than they would have before. So you're not high grading small amounts of material from deposits. You're trying to take the whole thing. So there's more of that going on. So there's more gold being consumed, and the pipeline for replacing it, well, like I said, you have a small number of well-known deposits, and then you have a few new major discoveries around the world, like Great Bear, where clearly we've come across a big system, and the industry at large wants to know what we're sitting on, how long it'll take to develop, and what the economics around that future development are probably going to look like.
Now, when it comes to grade, that's one of the issues that the majors dealt with at the end of the bull market last time, is that they took on too many low-grade projects. It's one thing that makes Great Bear stand out, and some of the other standout exploration stocks, it usually is around some sort of high-grade aspect or overall high-grade component of the resource. But, hey, these are getting harder and harder to find. What do you think the balance is between high grade, but also understanding the majors do need to replenish these ounces? So are they going to be forced into some of these lower grade assets as well?
It's, you know what? It's not just a black and white low grade versus high grade. This is about economics, right? Like, you could mine whatever you want out of the ground. It could be cornflakes for all I care. You know, it's just something that you want to see that you have very good margins on. So, you know, when it comes down to gold deposits, you know, I did have a very interesting conversation recently, and I won't say with who it was, but the comment from that person was that there were two tier one assets in Canada. One of them was Canadian Malartic, operated by Agnico, and the other one was Detour Lake, operated by Kirkland. And they said out of all the mines in the country, those are the two that they consider to be tier one assets. And, you know, you look at that and the consideration there, those are both low-grade deposits, but they produce a lot of ounces per year, and they produce a lot of ounces for a long time. And really what it comes down to is rate of production and life of mine. So I think there's these companies are a little bit more agnostic about the grade than you might think. Now, given the choice between deposit A, which is a gram per ton, and deposit B, which is 3 grams per ton, and they're going to have other similar characteristics, they're always going to pick deposit B because they're looking at probably a lower capex to build the mine and probably a smaller operation. But if it produces as many ounces, I mean smaller in terms of tons moved, but if it produces as many ounces, it's going to probably have much better economics. And it really comes down not as much to just the grade, but the economics on production, the all-in sustaining costs, the capex requirements, all these things. That's really what they're looking at.
Yeah, fair enough. It's something that I think we all have heard too, is that it's all about economics, right? Prove that this project is profitable, but it's also about proving that it's profitable at lower prices too, right? Because look, a lot of companies, I even get bothered by these companies saying, well, we did our PEA or whatever at this level gold, and now gold is so much higher, so look at how much more profitable it is. That's not what majors look at so much, is it? They don't look at the current gold price. They really want to protect their downside as well.
That's exactly right. I mean, and that's another reason the grade will capture the preference over the long term, because, you know, in the examples I was giving, that the 3 gram per ton deposit is going to be able to survive through a big lull in the gold cycle. We always have those. Right. So, yeah, clearly that's on the top of the radar screen as well. They really want to make sure that they're insulated against the downside risk of really just another fluctuating commodity price.
Yeah. And something that they got really burned at the tail end of that last bull market. Chris, one other thing in a broad market sense that we've seen for metals and juniors in particular is this pretty massive financing window, almost historic financing window, that has helped companies across the board. Great Bear hasn't had any problem raising money, but you must have noticed all this money flowing into all these other companies.
Yeah, I think that's a positive sign for the industry in the sense that it's attracting those investment dollars. What it always leads to is history repeating itself. You get an influx of capital, some of which is relatively unsophisticated about what that money is going to be deployed on. And inevitably, when you get these rushes into the sector's small. And there's only so many legitimate projects in the sector. But when you get into a bull market, everything gets funded. And that means every time we get into a bull market, a lot of investors end up having their hands burnt in that process. And I hate that. That's the part of the industry that I actually just really don't like. You know, we try with Great Bear, I just have to go back to our case, but we don't raise more money than we need and we spend it carefully, you know, and in a sense, it's a little bit of a tricky argument to make that we're exciting because we're boring. right? And we're consistent. We consistently produce really good gold results. We never, put on more drill rigs than what the data and the science and the resource definition requires. And that means we're a little bit quieter. But what it does mean is companies that can stick to their guns and be disciplined can make sure that they have a large pool of capital available to them because they're not burning it excessively fast. And what it really means is that you can take these opportunities to be good stewards of shareholder capital and make sure that you're showing that quality work is what wins in the long run. So in these markets, you want to make sure if you're playing the tortoise and the hare game, you know whether you bet on the tortoise or the hare.
All right. Hey, Chris, we're going to wrap up this segment here. But as I said, I'm having you back on next segment, and we're going to get a more comprehensive update from Great Bear Resources. So everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back with Chris Taylor.